Hello, this is James Cox with the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, and welcome. I have a special guest with me today. So, you know, we talk a lot about our martial arts and the lifestyle of martial arts, the journey as a martial arts student. You know, there's lots of experiences and knowledge, just like in life, because it is a way of life with that warrior spirit and the things we do and how we do it. But today I have one of my top students. This is Sifu Aaron Serta, and Aaron has quite a story. You know, he's been with me for a long time as a student and then as an instructor and as a top competitor, and has really followed a lot of the variety, the versatility, right? So, I mean, we've kind of done it all, right? But then we still have a lot left to do, right? I'll let you introduce yourself and tell us more about your journey and your story here. But, you know, I know you first came because your grandfather brought you in, and maybe you just weren't doing the best things or the behavior at school and home and all of that stuff, right? I know they didn't want to put you on medicine for ADD, and they heard that martial arts was good, and you were 10 years old, and that's where it started, man. But not only you, your grandfather became a black belt. He didn't even start until he was over 50 years old.
Yeah, that's it.
And your two brothers, both became black. Man, a whole family of black belts, an amazing martial artist. And I want to acknowledge the loyalty, the respect, and the dedication that you've had to me. So that's a mutual respect, and I really appreciate and value that, Mr. Aaron. But let's introduce yourself there, cowboy, and tell us some about
you. Well, my name is Aaron Serta. I'm a fourth degree black belt under you, and I've been here about 22 years, and it started because my grandpa brought me in, and you made it sound so nice though. Mm-hmm. Like you were like, because you weren't doing the right things, but it was a little excessive. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was failing school. I got brought home by the cops when I was like 9, 10 years old, and I was, you know, I was trouble. I was all kinds of trouble, and I would have been in jail or dead, or, you know, there's no telling what I would have been. And they put me in here because that's what was told. You know, that should have been something that, you know, should have done a long time ago. But they were told you should try martial arts, and, you know, kind of here we are, and it did. It saved my life. Mm-hmm. It changed my life, and it turned everything completely around. And it took a little bit of time and some effort on your part, because
I think we kind of stole you, not to mention any names, but you actually, now that I'm thinking back too, you joined another local martial arts school, and you were just there for a couple of months, and then you competed, or you were watched, or competed at a first tournament.
Competed.
That's when you saw me and our team.
Yes.
I didn't approach you, but you saw us.
And, I did. We were here, and we were at... Can I say the name? I was at another martial arts school here in Abilene, and they were hosting the tournament, and it was at the Kiva Inn. Mm-hmm. And we went over there to the tournament, and we competed, and we saw y'all compete, and all of the students that we were with got destroyed by y'all, and you and all of your students, y'all just wrecked shop on everybody. And my grandpa that day, he paid like 6 months in advance over there, and I was there for like 2 months. And that day, he was like, yeah, there's no reason for you to be here whenever that same school in the same town just mopped the floor with everybody. So we're going to go over there. And he just lost that money, and that same day came over here and, you know, signed up over here, and I've been here ever since.
We may have been more like Cobra Kai that day.
That, you know.
I don't know. Miyagi-Do or sure. I'm not sure.
There was those times at terms that we would walk in and people would be like, oh, the Abilene guys are here. We're leaving. And they would leave. Yeah. It's just.
And that's how I came up, too. I mean, we worked hard and did well, and it was tough competition. But
we were raised different. Like, training was different. You know, just the hard style versus, you know, now it's different techniques and different just aspects of it. But it was just a different breed of people just because of the beliefs of it, right? So martial arts still, implements that in people. It's just a different way. Like, whenever we were kids, we would go outside, and you would come home with the lights off, you know, when the street lights are gone. But, you know, kids don't do that nowadays.
Yeah.
So, you know, they get stuck at home, and then they get put on medicine because they are just stuck at home all day. They don't have nothing else to do. They don't know how to go outside and play. They don't know how to fall down and get hit a little bit and be okay with it. So martial arts does kind of help that a little bit. And then whenever you grow up that way, and then you do have the martial arts, and, you know, y'all kind of beat me up a little bit.
We did train hard, man. Well, it's because you always were out there, you know, you wanted to hang. It was like having the younger the younger kid wanted to always hang out with the older kids, right? You were that one, not only in age, but in belt rank, you know. So we'd have our special advanced classes, our stay after class and spar for, you know, preparing for a tournament or just extra work. And it was always this guy, Aaron, here hanging out. It's like, oh, great, all right. So we beat him up a lot, but then that turned around, and then it made you know, you stronger just by going through it, of course.
I remember Friday night fight nights.
Friday night fight nights.
And you would have the kids in one ring and the adults in the other ring. And then the kids eventually, y'all, we're going to spar. We would do the King of the Hill for hours. And then the kids would eventually start leaving whenever they were done and after the class was over. And I was the only kid left. So then I would jump over there with all the adults and all the black belts were left over there. And I would just get beat up by y'all. Little kid getting beat up by all these adult black belts.
Yeah, but hey, go through the bad to get to the good. Yeah, toughened up.
But it changed. It changes you. Like once you get used to it, then it kind of becomes a natural thing. So life's gonna beat you down, right? So if you're not used to getting beat down sometimes, then you're gonna fall under that pressure. And if you're not used to it, then you're just gonna crack. Yeah. But you know, and the sparring side, y'all kind of beat me down a little bit because I was a kid, but I didn't realize what I was going to do later on, right? So instead of falling under pressure now, instead of cracking under, you know, getting beat down by, like, life and what everything else happens, then you just kind of keep pushing forward because that's what I was raised to do.
Yeah, that physical, mental, emotional strength where you get kind of comfortable with being uncomfortable, you know, and there's good points in that, too.
Yeah, you start kind of enjoying it sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, this is uncomfortable. I like it. Let's do it again. Kind of like working out or anything else, it just becomes, you know, a habit. Like with my job now, is there's times out there that I'm in the middle of the heat trying to fix a fence or deal with cows or whatever else, and it's not fun sometimes. But I'm like, you know, it's not that bad. Yeah. It's not that bad.
So you feel like you have a stronger, you know, work ethic and less likely to quit easily.
Oh yeah,
right. The perseverance.
Oh yeah, and a lot of that came, you know, not only from my grandpa and me working with him sometimes, but when we were doing fight team training, when I was fighting for you, is you would finish training, you would say this. I don't remember if you remember it, but I remember it. Was, all right, you can do 20 pull ups, and then you're done. And then we'd finish those 20 pull ups, and you're like, all right, well, give me 10 more, and we'd get 10 more. All right, now give me some until you can't pull up anymore, and you can go home. And then we would, till we literally can't get up on the bar. Okay, but seriously, this time, after you get 10 more, then you can leave. And then it was just that constant push.
Right. One more. Just one more.
And it was that, like, where your brain says, I'm done. But you knew our bodies could handle more. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of made our minds and our mental stronger, took along with our bodies. And it kind of works in everyday life. It's just kind of how it works now.
Yeah. So it's that physical moves have correlating mental benefits, you know.
Exactly.
I can't not think of that without thinking of just a simple horse stance, a simple squatting stance where you're like a wall sit, you're really literally doing nothing. I would probably sound like I was exaggerated if I told you times of, you know, the amount of time that we spent just sitting in that stance, you know, 45 minutes at times, maybe longer. And that don't sound realistic, but we did it.
It's true. You did one time talking on the phone.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had things to do. That's when I was a one-man show. All right, go to horse stance. Oh, man, I got to get this long-distance phone call. I couldn't miss it.
We're out there, snot coming out of our nose, our legs shaking, arms shaking.
Once in a while, I'd get off the phone. Lower! Sorry, back to the call.
You did. I remember those.
Days. Yeah. So you've seen a lot of the evolution with our school, with martial arts, you know, before MMA was really MMA to what it is now. From sport karate, you did a lot of the tournaments. And we traveled together. Your grandfather, who's one of my good friends, and you know, again, black belts, was a lot of times our driver, right?
He was.
And took us all over for tournaments, and we started getting into some kickboxing and boxing. You also trained with my boxing coach, and then MMA came along. You did amateur MMA, went into pro. You had a good professional MMA career. You fought and beat some top level people, WEC world champions, and on. But so tell us a little bit about your competition journey, and with that variety, you know, being successful and good at all those different aspects of fighting, because not a lot of people can do it, you know, where you can be a champion point fighter into a champion kickboxer into a champion MMA fighter. It's tough.
It's a lot different, but that kind of goes back with like our base style. We were trained to adapt and overcome in different situations, like going from, you know, from Kenpo to karate to, you know, this to that to different situations. You have to kind of just adapt and overcome so you get used to it. But we did. We started training in the points fighting, and that's where we did our katas and our weapons and point sparring. And it was like a game of tag, but not, because we always hit really hard.
Yeah, Texas so. Point fighting is a little different.
Yeah.
Especially then those days.
Yeah, that is very yeah. true. And then we did. We won a lot of state championships, and then one day you were like, you want to try some boxing? Yeah, why not? And it just kind of escalated. Then, well, how about some kickboxing? Well, sure, why not? And you just kind of added on to it. And then, well, how about some cage fighting? And I did. My first cage fight was here in Abilene. It was one you hosted, my first amateur cage fight. And I wasn't, my mom actually told me that I wasn't going to do it. And I actually told her that I was staying at my best friend's house that night. And instead, I went up there to the cage fight. And I was the first fight and the first cage fight that was here in Abilene.
Yeah, I remember.
And the only way that they found out about it was my picture happened to be in the paper about it. So I thought
you were at your friend's house.
I got caught. Yeah. But yeah, that's
one of the worst things you could have been, doing.
I could have been doing anything else, but instead I was fighting, and then it just kind of escalated from there. And my first pro fight was actually one that you hosted here in Abilene.
Yep.
Yeah, my first pro fight. And then we traveled all over the country fighting. We had some good times, and we met a lot of cool people, and we fought a lot of big name people. Yeah. There was a lot of times that coming from Texas to Florida. Remember the first one in Florida that I got booed walking out? Because I was the Texas guy from Florida, but then it turned into something different. And I was going to make that a career.
Got to be on Greg Jackson's show in Albuquerque. Was that Frank
as the
Gomez?
Main event? With Frank Gomez, the main event.
John Jones in the corner of the other fighter there.
Yeah, John Jones.
Those guys after.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. It was just cool seeing John Jones walk out, and it was his cornerman.
And even better that we won.
Yeah, even better that we won in front of him. That is true. That's true. Yeah, it just kind of escalated.
A percentage of people compete in martial arts, and I think a larger percentage do not, depending on the culture of that school, or, you know, some people have rules that you have to compete. I've grown where we have a smaller and smaller fight team nowadays for different reasons, but we still have competitors. What's your thoughts on you know, martial artists competing or not competing?
I bet you the fight team you have are some of the best students you have. I bet if you were to pull out, if you had five fight team members, that's all you had, I bet those five students would be the best students in your school.
That personal attention, that extra, you know, just aggressiveness kind of, right?
The drive.
Train like
from
a fighter.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you just go to school or go to the class and train, that's all you do. You go to class and train 2-3 times a week, you can learn some stuff that could save your life on the street. But if you can't put it or know how to control the stress level in a stressful situation like a fight, then you're gonna get all clouded whenever something that time actually comes. So you can learn it, and it can save your life, and it'll benefit you in so many different ways. But if you can't put it in some kind of actual stress-related scenario like a fight, you know, competition, you know, even though it's friendly competition, but it gets you the ability to overcome those stressful situations in a fun aspect. So not only can you get better based off of what you learn to do or not to do from a fight, but then you can actually handle that stress in an easier way because you're used to it at that point.
Well, that's a good point. I agree. I don't think everyone has to compete, but
I think it's good
for them. At least good training, sparring, resistance, and it's good for them, because resistance changes everything.
Oh, everything.
You know, we talk about having bag habits. Someone that just punches a bag, they're getting a bag habit. A bag doesn't punch them back.
Mm-hmm.
Or break boards. All right, it's good. Boards don't hit back. I mean, resistance with a live opponent that definitely makes a difference into the level there.
Yeah, because people react differently.
Yeah, definitely. And then you early on became an instructor. I mean, your first technical job was being an assistant instructor with me at a young age, and then became full-time lead head instructor, went through a lot of certification classes and courses with Premier and with other consulting martial arts agencies. We've had a lot of travel, a lot of experience and training, and you're a very good instructor because you're you know, charismatic and your attitude and dealing with the different ages and problems. There's a lot to teaching. What's your teaching, I don't know, thoughts and maybe challenges and successes you've had just as being an instructor?
One thing that made it easier for me to become a teacher or an instructor just in general was I know the trials that kids go through. So, you know,
could relate. You had empathy.
I could, you know, and yeah. From all aspects, from, you know, if they were just had a rough childhood or if they had ADHD or they just had a hard time sitting still. I understand. I still have that issue sometimes, but, you know, I understand. So I can actually have that empathy towards them. So I know how to handle it differently. Mm-hmm. Other people just kind of give up on it because they don't know what to do. Kind of give up. They just don't know what to do. So that's one thing that actually helped. The hardest part about it is having that empathy. Because if you you have, let's say, 30, 40 kids on the mat, and this kid, you have to worry about the ADHD, so you have to change immediately to their, you know, the way they're going to understand something. This kid over here is a genius, so then you have to switch everything you're doing immediately to go over here. So everything is back to back to back. You have no time to, you know, in the same class to breathe and think about what you're going to do. You just have to be able to do it. So it was easy for me to have the empathy and actually understand where kids come through and where they're going, but it was the hardest thing because you have to be able to adjust to every single student because everybody, again, learns differently. They all act differently.
Yeah, that's where you need good assistance to use other help with things there. So you just recently moved off for a job, but you always come in for events and trainings and, you know, continue that connection because it's a family. But what's your future plans or goals? Anything else you got going on?
Cowboying. That's kind of what it is. We work on that ranch and live out there, but I'm still going to continue to come in here and grow and still train, you know, as often as I can. It does take 2 hours to get from my house to any school to train.
Wow.
So it's as, you know, as often as I can, but that's something I can't just not do. It's just part of me, and you know, it saved my life and it changed my life. And what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, if you look at the students' lives that you've changed, like mine, right? So you changed my life and you saved my life. You don't realize that you changing mine, and when I was teaching for you, the lives that I changed because of it.
Yeah.
So you had a big impact on not me, but theirs and
all those followers.
All of them. And then, you know, think about all the other students that do go off and teach elsewhere, how many lives and stuff they've saved and changed and had. You don't even know about them. They don't know you.
Right. Yeah.
They don't know you, but it's something that you had a hand in just because of martial arts. Even the kids at school, if they go off to school somewhere and they prevent somebody from doing something stupid. Mm-hmm. Could change that kid's life.
Yeah,
that kid don't know you, but it was just something that you taught this other child not to do.
Now we have tons of, you know, stories, testimonials, experiences of almost every situation that has happened.
And,
you know, most of it good, but yeah, you're right. It's like a virus, and you never really know. So it's kind of lucky that you know, for whatever reason, we're in the right place at the right time to you know, start these things, and then to be there to pass it on to others. Right, so paying it forward.
Exactly.
You know, let's pay it forward. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Sardi, anything else you want to add or say to the audience?
No, that's about it, man. If y'all are tuning in, you know, just stay tuned in for any other episodes that he has because they are all amazing. I've listened to them all, and you send them to me, and I listen to them, and they are. There's some really good stuff in there. They're really magical. And if you are students and you are training, make sure you get to class.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you know, you don't hear many stories of, I'm sure glad I quit martial arts, but you sure hear a whole lot of stories of, I wish I would never would have quit, you know, right?
I'm glad I stayed.
Yeah, I'm glad I stayed, or, you know, so it is like life of when you see that there's enough to gain, there's enough of benefits and value, then you sacrifice some time, some money, some uncomfortableness, but the good will outweigh the bad. You just got to, you know, you're going to get out of what you put in it. And if it's doing martial arts or other things, you know, perseverance.
Easy. Yeah. My grandpa did spend all that money and all that. And he spent a lot, especially for those tournaments and everything else. He spent a lot of money and time. And if he didn't do that, again, there's no telling where I would have been. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, luckily you had him, you know. So that's good. All right, my brother. Well, thanks. I appreciate you coming up. I've been wanting to get you on here for a while now. And let's just continue living the good lives, kicking and punching, all that stuff.
Is that how that goes?
Sound effects and all. All right, guys. Thanks. We'll talk to you soon.